Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We are holding in daf Kuf Yud Beis and Beis in the middle of the daf. Today's shir is sponsored by Eti Hirschberg and Dovi and Tamar and Yehudis and Shmuel and Eliezer Hirschberg in honor of Daniel Hirschberg being Messiah Shas today with the seam of Maseches Sanhedrin. Daniel, we wish you a tremendous Mazel Tov. You should be Zocha to be Messiah many Svarim Acherim and Shas many times over. Today's shir is also sponsored by Avishai and Elishav and Numelis Chusur for Shulema, for Chaim Naftali Ben Fremit Freda, as well as for Sarah Freda, Bas Chaya, who should both have Rufu Shlema, Bisoch Shar Chole Yisrael. We are holding in the middle of the page on Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, and we're about to discuss, we're continuing to discuss the issues of Ir Nidachas. So we're going to discuss what happens when you have Bukhar or a Meiser, an animal that's a Bukhar or Meiser Behema, which are normally Karbanos, in an Ir Nidachas. What happens if you have Truma in Ir Nidachas? What happens if you have Meiser Sheni in an Ir Nidachas? What if the Meiser Sheni already made it to Yerushalayim? The Gemara is going to have detailed discussion on the top of Kuf Yud Gimel. We're going to discuss Kisvei HaKodesh in Nir Nidachas. The Mishnah said one thing, but we're going to see that there's a Tana that argues on what our Mishnah said. We're also going to explain the Machlokas that we had in our Mishnah, whether you're not allowed to build anything in Nir Nidachas, or you perhaps are allowed to have at least planted gardens and orchards by a ruined Nir Nidachas. Meaning, what are you not allowed to do with it afterwards? The Gemara is going to segue from Nir Nidachas into Yericho, because the only other time that we have that you had to destroy an entire city and you weren't allowed to take anything from it was the city of Yericho. So the Gemara is going to discuss the Isser to rebuild Yericho and the death of the children of Chiel when he did rebuild Yericho. The Gemara is going to discuss in that context, it's going to lead right into a discussion of the drought that Eliyahu HaNavi brought about because of the follow-up of what happened to Chiel and how that drought ultimately ended. And then the Masechta is going to conclude with a very brief discussion of how Rishayim bring terrible things into this world and Tzaddikim bring a lot of goodness into this world, and therefore the departure of a Rasha is considered a good thing for the world, and the departure of a tzaddik is considered a terrible thing for the world. The birth of a tzaddik is a great thing for the world. So again, we're holding right in the middle of the page, Kuf Yud Beis and Beis, Reb Shimon Omer Behemtucha V'lo Behemas Becharu Meiser. So right away, even with that citation, there's a little bit of a problem, because the Pasuk doesn't say Behemtucha. It says Behemta, not Behemtucha. But okay, so be that as it may, some have changed the gears a little bit. But we learn that Lo Becharu Meiser, that doesn't get included in the Ir Nidachas. So B'mayaskinon, what types of Behemas Becharu is Rabbi Shimon talking about? If it does not yet have a mum, and therefore it's supposed to be brought on the Mizbech, why do I need Behemtucha to teach me that it doesn't get burned? Shlal Shamayim Hu. It's part of Shlal Shamayim, so we should learn from the word Shlala that it doesn't get destroyed with Dirin Nidachas, because it's not the Shlal of the city, it's the Shlal Shamayim. Ella b'balimum, and it must be that we're talking about a Bechor Meiser that had become already a Balmum, and the halacha is that a Bechor Meiser becomes Balmum, you don't even have to be poda, it just gets nechal l'bailim, the owners are allowed to eat it. But then why don't they get destroyed with the rest of the city? Shlala ninu. Then it attack is the shlal of the Ir Nidachas, because it's the mum and bailim gets the bailim get to eat it. Some ravina liolam b'bali mumin. Really, we are. Rabbi Shimon is talking about that it's bali mumin, and still he holds that it's not considered the shlal Ir Nidachas. Why? Because the mishenechal b'toras behemtucha, that we're medayed from the fact that only that which is eaten by the Bailim as Behemtucha is included in the Chiyuv to destroy the city. That a Behema that used to be a Behemas Hedyot and is now Behemas Ir Nidachas, that's what you have to destroy. Yatsu Elu, as opposed to a Bechor Meiser, Sheinechol in Betoris Behemtucha, El Betoris Bechor Meiser. There's another name to this animal. It's not that it was Behemas Hedyot and now is Behemas Ir Nidachas. It's Behemas Bechor Meiser Shel Ir Nidachas. And therefore they don't get killed with the rest of the behemoth of the Ir Nidachas, to Shlal Shamayim Ninhu. That's still considered to be Shlal Shamayim, even though they're Bali Mumin. So says Gemara, Pliga de Shmuel. Ravina, who explains Rabbi Shimon to be talking about Bali Mumin, is in disagreement with the Shmuel, who thinks Rabbi Shimon is talking Damar Shmuel, Akol Karav Akol Nifta. Shmuel says, Akol Karav Akol Nifta. Says Gemara, my Kamar, what does it mean? Akol Karav Akol Nifta. That doesn't, the words don't even fit. That everything is brought as a carbon and everything is redeemed. From money, that can't both be true. So Hachi Kamer, no, what he means to say is as follows. Kol shekarav, any carbon that's brought on the Mizbech, kshu tam, if it didn't have a mum, v'nifte kshu ba mum, and would be redeemed for money if it had a mum, meaning any kachim kalim other than becharu meiser, mishlala imait, is excluded from the words shlala, that it doesn't get killed with the other behemos of the irindachas. Because even when it has a mum, it does not become mutter to a hedyot without pidyon, anything other than becharu meiser. So it's always going to be shlal shemayim, because even if it gets a mum, you still need to be poded. It's still shlal shemayim. The kol shekarav kshutam, the enu nifta kshu bal mum. But if you have something that as soon as it becomes a bal mum, becomes mutter for a hedyot, kigon becharu meiser, like becharu meiser, that if it gets a mum, there's no pidyon necessary. It just right away becomes mutter. So then you even when it doesn't have a mum, you can't be memayit from the words shlalab, that because it's bechal shlal hedyot mi behema nafka, so that you need an extra word of behemta and not behemas bechor meiser to be memayit bechor meiser. So it turns out that Shmuel is that according to Shmuel, Rabbi Shimon, when he talks about bechor meiser, is talking about bechor meiser tmimim, that's shlal hedyot, and you need the word behemta to tell me not to destroy it. But bechor meiser balei mumim, there's no miyut, and it would get destroyed. Whereas Ravina disagrees. Ravina thinks that Rabbi Shimon is talking about becharu meiser that are balei mumim, and they wouldn't get destroyed either. So it's a major difference lahalacha. What they disagree about, they disagree. What do you do with becharu meiser that are balei mumim? Do we have this drush of behemta to exclude them, or do we assume no, that's just mumim hedyot, and therefore it would get destroyed? Trumos Yirkavu. Next thing we said in the Mishnah, if you have truma in your nidachas, let it rot. Amrav Chisa Loshanu El Truma B'Yad Yisrael. That's only truma that the Yisrael is still holding on to. He was mafresh for the truma, but he never gave it to a kohen. So it doesn't become aser in the Yad Yisrael because it's not his mamon. Aval truma B'Yad Kohen. But if the truma is already in the hands of the kohen, the Yisrael gave the truma to a kohen, and the kohen is a ben yerni dachas. Since it belongs to the Kohen, so it belongs to someone from the Erni Dachas, Mele, it's going to get burnt, because it's like any other possessions of the Kohen who lives in the Erni Dachas. So Masav Rav Yosef, Maisur Sheni, V'Kisvei HaKodesh Yiganzu, it says that Maisur Sheni and Kisvei HaKodesh in our Mishnah, that it should be buried, and it does not get burnt. But wait a second, V'Maisur Sheni B'Yad Yisrael, Kitruma B'Yad Kohen Dami. Isn't there a parallel that Maisur Sheni in the hands of Yisrael is exactly like Truma in the hands of a Kohen? In that Yisrael who has his Maaser Sheni is allowed to eat it, it's Kilu, it's his, so the same as Truma B'Yad Kohen, and nevertheless we don't say Maaser Sheni B'Yad Yisrael that he just gets to eat, we say V'Katani Yiganzu, we say the Maaser Sheni has to be Nignas, even though the Mishnah says that the Mishnah says that Maaser Sheni is Nignas, we can't be Mezalza on the Maaser Sheni to just destroy it with the moment of ear. So the same should be true by Truma. Even when it's Biad Kohen, it should still have some Kedusha, and therefore should not be destroyed together with the moment of ear. L'chor, the Gemara could have just very simply answered that our Mishnah is assuming like Rameir that Maaser Sheni is Mamun Gavahu, meaning Truma is the moment of the Kohen. So we're trying to say, oh, but why is that any different than Maaser Sheni Biad Yisrael? Well, if you hold Maaser Sheni B'Yad Yisrael is Mamun Hedyot, Ein Ochinami, it should be no different. But if you hold Maaser Sheni is Mamun Gavoa, so then it's very different. So the Gemara didn't want to give that answer because we don't want to lock in our Mishnah to Dafka be going like Shitas Reb Meir. So we're going to have to give a different answer. Eli'i Itmar Hachi Itmar. If you want to say Rav Chista's din on the Mishnah, you have to say it differently. That Amar Rav Chista lo shanu, that when the Chacham say in the Mishnah that the Truma gets, it should be allowed to rot, lo shanu el Truma B'Yad Kohen. That's only when the Truma is already in the hand of the Kohen. That even though it's the moment of the Kohen, you don't burn it. You can't be mezalzel in it in that way. You have to just let it rot. Aval Truma B'Yad Yisrael Tinos in the Kohen should be Erni Dachas. But when it comes to Truma B'Yad Yisrael, so don't let it rot. Give it to a Kohen, even a Kohen who lives in the Erni Dachas, because it's not the Mammon of Yisrael, so it's not going to be Aser, it's not going to be included in the Iser of the Mammon of the Erni Dachas. You have to give it. Rashi points out, yeah, a kohen who lives in the Ur Nidachas, but not a kohen that was hudachi mahem, not a kohen who also violated the Isser. So it sounds like you're allowed to give it even to a kohen who's in the Ur Nidachas, as long as he's one of the tzaddikim that was not hudach with them. Tos Yontov wonders that nichsei tzaddikim, we already learned, nichsei tzaddikim in the Ur Nidachas also get destroyed together with the moment of Ir. So what does it help to give it to a kohen who's in the Ur Nidachas? That stuff is supposed to get destroyed as well. So the Sanhedrin Ketani suggests that this is like a kohen who's konan nechassim after the city becomes an Ir Nidachas, where such nechassim do not get destroyed. That nechassim that he had when the city became an Ir Nidachas and are in the Ir Nidachas, yeah, they get destroyed. But whatever he buys afterwards, even if it's in the Ir Nidachas, does not get destroyed. The Yad Rama suggests that you do not give it to a kohen in that city, even if he was not hudach with them, even if the kohen is a tzaddik, because it might be confused with the other nichsei tzaddikim shabatocha, meaning meikra din, he really holds like Rashi, that you would be allowed to give it, but a gezeira, that you might confuse it with other possessions, so better not to give it to a kohen. So that's why tinasin le kohen shabi ira cheres, that you give it to a kohen in a different city, the Gemara said, not in the same city, not in the Ur Nidachas itself. Okay, now we're going to talk about Maaser Sheni in general. Is it Mamon Gavoa or is it Mamon Hedyo? Tanan Hasam. Isa Shal Maaser Sheni Ptura Min HaChalav. If you have a dough of Maaser Sheni, it's Pater from Chala. Divra Meir. V'cham Mechayvin. L'cham say that it's Chayvin Chala. In the mitzvah of Chala. Amr of Chista Machlokas B'Maaser Sheni B'Yerushalayim. The whole Machlokas is, once the Maaser Sheni is in Yerushalayim and you're allowed to eat it, Tera Meir Savar Maaser Sheni Mamon Gavoa. Who? Rameir holds it's considered Mamon Gavoa, and therefore it would be potter from challah, because the pasuk says by challah, "Reishis ariso seichem challah tarimu truma." That it has to be ariso seichem. It has to be your dough, and it's not your dough. It's mamon gavoa. Rabbanon savri mamon hediotu, and the rabbanon say, "No, the fact that you're allowed to eat maaser sheni, that's mamon hediot. It's your money, and therefore it's going to be chayiv in challah." Aval begvulin, but what? So long as the maaser sheni hasn't made it to Yerushalayim yet, when it's outside of Yerushalayim, where no one is allowed to eat it, divrei hakol. Everyone's going to say, you can't call that Ariso Seichem, because no one's allowed to eat it. So it would seem that everyone would agree that it's Mamon Gavoa. That's how Rashi writes, that Begvulin, Ledivrei HaKol, it's Mamon Gavoa when it's Begvulin. Then Rashi says that according to the Chacham, Maaser Sheni is Mamon Hadyot, even Begvulin. But still, it's not going to be Chayiv and Chala Begvulin, because at the time of the Gilgul HaIsa, which is when the Chiv of Chala is Chal, there's no Heter Achila. So that's why it's not a riso seichem. That it's not just that it has to be your mamon, but it has to be hetera yeshba hetera achila, and there's no hetera achila begvulin. So two explanations of Rashi, probably told in the sugi mesecha sukkah about the definition of what's called lachem, whether it's hetera achila or it's mamono. Okay, but the point is that we do have this machlokas whether a dove maaser sheni is chayiv and chala. So the Gemara is saying that whole machlokas is only in Yerushalayim. Well, wait a second. Masav Rav Yosef, Maaser Sheni v'Kisvei HaKodesh Yiganzu. Our Mishnah says that if you have Maaser Sheni or Kisvei HaKodesh in an Ir Nidachas, it should be buried. So, b'mayaskinan, what kind of Maaser Sheni are we talking about? Ilema b'Yerushalayim, if we're talking about Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, and then Rov Anshei Yerushalayim did Avodah Zarah and Yerushalayim became an Ir Nidachas, can't be. Me have Yerin Nidachas, could Yerushalayim ever become eligible to be in the Yerin Nidachas? Vatanya, we have a Brice in Baba Kama that tells us, Asara Dvarim Nemru B'Yerushalayim, there are 10 things about Yerushalayim, V'Zoachas Man, and one of the special things about Yerushalayim is Ein Anasis, Ir Nidachas. It can never become an Ir Nidachas. Yad Rama explains, because the Pasuk says that an Ir Nidachas happens Ba'achas Arecha, meaning an ear that's designated to one of the Shvatim. Yerushalayim is not Nechlik al Shvatim, Mela does not become an ear Nidachas. So the Mishnah must be talking about Be'ir Acheres, Va'askul, L'gava, that it's in a different city, and they brought it to Yerushalayim, and then the city that they brought it from became an ear Nidachas, so the Maaser Sheni becomes Aser as part of the Mamon of that city, and that's why you have to be Gonis, and that's why you have to bury it. But wait a second. Hakaltu mechitzos. Once it enters into the walls of Yerushalayim, so once the Maaser gets into the walls of Yerushalayim, it's never allowed to leave there. So why should you have to bury it? Meaning it should get, it now doesn't belong to that city anymore. It belongs to Yerushalayim. elolav begvulin. So don't we have to say that the Mishnah is talking about outside of Yerushalayim? We're talking about Meisr Sheni begvulin, and the city became a an ir nidachas v'katani yeganzu. And the Mishnah says that it becomes asr ba'achila as part of the shalal of the ir nidachas. So you see from here against Rav Chista, because if Rav Chista was right that everyone agrees that Meisr Sheni begvulin is mamun gavoa, why would it become asr ba'achila? It's not the shalal of the ir nidachas; it's shalal shemayim. So you have to say that it's considered mamun hediot according to the Chachamim. We just are allow being gones and not being soreif in order not to be mezalzel meiser sheni. Says no, lo, it's not a raya. Liolam diaracheres vaskula gava. We're talking about meiser sheni that came from a different city. It was brought to Yerushalayim. V'hacha mayaskinan shenitma. And over here we're talking about a case where the meiser became tame, and meiser sheni that's tame is also ba'achila, and that's why it's ein lo takan el begniza. That's why you have to be gones. Frankly, Gemara, there's another option. The lifrake, can't you be poded it for money? Use that money to buy tahar food? Because you could always be poded the Meisr Sheni that became Tameh. Damar Ablazar, minayin the Meisr Sheni, shenitma shepoded nosa afil b'Yerushalayim, tamal omar, lo suchal se'eso, ve'in se'esa la'achila. Shem Rav Yisrael says, meispanav. Meaning, if you're unable to eat it because it's Tameh, you can be poded it for money. So if that's the case, why do you have to be gones Meisr Sheni of Inir Nidachas? Sa'acha mayaskinan, bilakuach. Now, the Mishnah must be talking about not food of Meisr Sheni, but rather food that was purchased with Kesef Meisr Sheni. Frankly, Gemara v'lifrakei, you could still be poded with money to Tana and Halakuach because of Meisr Shenitma Yipada. The Mishnah says that food that you buy with Kesef Meisr, you can be poded such food. So why does the Mishnah say that you have to be gones the perus of Meisr? So the Gemara answers, Ki Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah must be assuming like Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Yikaver, who holds that which is bought with Kesef of Meisr Sheni that became Tameh has to be buried, cannot be niftes with any money, because the Kedusha is not strong enough to be nitfas on a pidyon. The Kedusha is not strong enough to transfer over to a pidyon, so that you can't eat it, you can't be poda it, you have no options. The only option is to bury it. Ihachi, if that's the case, that our Mishnah is talking about peros that you purchased with Meisr Sheni Mamon in Yerushalayim and then became Tameh, and the our Mishnah is saying that requires Geniza, my area, why does the Tana Dafka pick Ir Nidachas, Meisr Sheni of Ir Nidachas? I feel the Almanami. Leave out the Ir Nidachas detail. The same din would apply. You have money of Meisr Sheni, you brought it to Yerushalayim, you purchased peros, those peros became Tameh, you can't be pulled to them, so mainly you have to be going, you can't eat them because they're Tameh, you can't be pulled to them because they're only food that was Lokuach because of Meisr. Mainly you're going to have to be gones. Leave out the whole Ir Nidachas business. So that's a strong kasha. So the Gemara says, okay, we have to go back. Eloliolam bitahar. We have to say we're talking about Meisr Sheni that's tahar, that was brought to Yerushalayim, and then the city became an Ir Nidachas, and the peros become Asr Ba'ana with all the other possessions of that city. And that's why you have to be gones them. Ukigon denafel mechitzos. And we must be talking about a situation where the mechitzos Yerushalayim came down after the Meisr was brought into Yerushalayim, and that's why there's no kletos mechitzos. That's why the mechitzos don't, normally we said before that the food won't become asr as part of Nir Nidachas, because once it goes into Yerushalayim, it can't come out. Once it goes into those mechitzos, it's never allowed to leave the mechitzos, so it no longer should be associated with Nir Nidachas, yet there are no more mechitzos. Ukidarava, Rava says, Dama Rava, mechitza lechel daraisa. Mida raisa, you have to eat Meisr Sheni inside the choma, inside the mechitzos. But liklot drabanan, the idea that Meisr Sheni that came into the mechitzos Yerushalayim is never allowed to be brought outside and to be niftes or anything else, that's only a din midrabanan. V'chigaz rabanan kiyas nal mechitza kiyas nal mechitza lo. And that din drabanan doesn't apply when the mechitza is no longer there. So if you have Meisr Sheni that was brought to Yerushalayim, and then while there were mechitzos, and then the mechitzos came down, it's not stuck in Yerushalayim. That Meisr Sheni can still be associated with the Ir Nidachas. Ooh, if it could still be associated with the Ir Nidachas, then it's still considered part of the Shlal Ir Nidachas. So it's Asr Ba'anah, and it's going to have to be Nignaz. Kisvei HaKodesh Yiganzu. We also said in our Mishnah that Kisvei HaKodesh should be Nignaz, they should be buried. Any Kisvei HaKodesh that you have in the Ir Nidachas. So says Mar, Delok Rabbi Lazar. This is Masnisin Delok Rabbi Lazar. Our Mishnah is against Rabbi Lazar. Ditanya, we have a Braisa that Rabbi Lazar Omer called Yirshkeishba Filu Mezuzah Achas that a city that has any kisvei hakodesh, including even a single mezuzah, cannot become an irnidachas. Shenemar v'sarafta ve'isha seir v'es kol shalala kalil. You burn the whole city down, everything in it. Ve'echadiku mezuzah lo efshar. But if there's a mezuzah in the city, you're not allowed to burn the whole thing down. T'chsiv lo sasun ken l'ashem elokeichem. When the Torah commands us to get rid of the avodah zarah in Eretz Yisrael, it says upsile elohim tekadayun v'ibadtem eshmam min hamakom ahu. But don't do the same thing l'ashem elokeichem. And this is in the Torah to be ma'abed kisvei hakodesh l'av shem shemayim. So you're not allowed to burn a mezuzah in Yerni Dachas because there's shem shemayim written in the mezuzah. So if you can't be mekayim the mitzvah as it says in the Torah to destroy all of the possessions of Yerni Dachas, then you can't be mekayim the mitzvah at all. So the Yad Ramah writes for kisvei hakodesh bechlal shlola ninhu, meaning you can't compare mezuzah to kachim. Kachim also don't get burnt, but it doesn't stop the whole city from being in Eretz Yidachas. A mezuzah, because it doesn't get burnt, memela stops the whole city from being in Eretz Yidachas. Because a mezuzah is not shlal shamayim. It is shlala. It is the shlal Eretz Yidachas, because it is definitely mamon bailim, 100%. You own the mezuzah. It just has this elevated level of kedusha where you're not allowed to burn it, but it's absolutely yours. And that's why it would prevent the entire city from becoming an Eretz Yidachas. What about the Chacham in our Mishnah, who say that kisvei hakodesh do not save the Eretz Yidachas? So Yad Rama explains, hechad efshar efshar, hechad lo efshar, lo efshar. The Torah says burn the city, all the shlal of the city, unless it's the kind of shlal that you're not allowed to burn. So no, you could still do the mitzvah without burning that. Now the Achronim will ask the Kasha, there's a klal in Kol HaTorah Kula. Asay docha los asay. Yeah, los asum ken lashem elokechem. Terrible. Los asay min haTorah. But there's a mitzvah asay to destroy Nirin Yidachas. So why don't we say asay docha los asay? The mitzvah asay should be docha the love of destroying Nirin Yidachas. So this is a major discussion in the Achronim. They try to figure out why we don't apply asay docha los asay dafka by Nirin Yidachas. The Rav Moshe has a tshuva. It's a fascinating tshuva about I think Rav Hutner is the one was the shoal in the tshuva about a guy who had some sort of a disease that he had to be quarantined in some location for some time while he was getting treatment, and anything that he brought into that quarantine zone, that location, would by the end of 30 days, or however long he was going to be there when the treatment was over, would have to be destroyed, would have to be burnt. So he's going to be there for a month, let's say. Should he bring his tefillin? So he can be mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin every day. He's not going to destroy the tefillin afterwards. But at the end of 30 days, there's no doubt they're going to burn everything. They're going to destroy everything. They're going to destroy his tefillin. So do you come up with all sorts of, I'm not going to be the one doing it. Who knows what's going to be in 30 days? Maybe everything's going to be different in 30 days. Maybe they'll come up with some other eitzah. So that's what Moshe writes, that we see dafka, that the destruction of Shem Hashem is an Isru Chamur. How do we see it's an Isru Chamur? Apparently, we don't say Asei Docha Lotz Asei by destroying Kisvei HaKodesh. It's considered an Isru Chamur beyond a regular Isru. You have this shaila all the time in schools. The teacher accidentally, absent-mindedly writes a Shem Hashem on a board or something. So what do? Can you erase it? Do you wait for the guy to come at night who's going to clean up and let him erase it anyway? Rav Soloveitchik Paskin for the Maimonides school, and this happened many, many years ago, that they cut out the board and bury it. And that's what it happened in Lander College a couple of years ago. We had a guest speaker and he was doing gematrias or something, and he wrote out Shem Hashem. So Rav Sachs had the board taken down, and I think it's in the basement somewhere or something. He didn't want to have it erased because of this concern that it's an Isur Chamer. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Omer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Shimon says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that it should be Tel Olam, that you're not even allowed to make Ginos Upardesim. Rabbi Yosef Glili says you're not even allowed to make Ginos Upardesim. Rabbi Kiva says, no, you're just not allowed to lo tibana od. You're not allowed to build up the Iron Yidachas. But Gino Supardesim is fine. What are they arguing about? This machlokas, whether you're allowed to make Gino Supardesim on a spot that used to be an Ir Hanidachas. Lema bidrabi oven amrabi ilah kamiflagi. Maybe they're arguing about the machlokas, Rabbi oven amrabi ilah. They're arguing with whether to agree with Rabbi oven amrabi ilah. Why? Damrabi oven amrabi ilah. Kalmakam shatamotse klal. Ba'asei, uprat belosase ain dan nosob klaluprat. In general, one of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah in Joshua time is klaluprat, which means the Torah tells us a general rule, then the Torah tells us a specific. We assume that the prat is limiting the klal. Ain bechlal elamashe beprat. The klal, we don't listen to the general rule, we only listen to that one specific example of that general rule. But what happens if you have a klaluprat, but the klal is in a lashon of mitzvah sasei, v'haisa tel olam, let it be a mound of dirt forever. And the prat is in a lashon of lo sasei, lo tibane od, you shouldn't build it again. Do we assume that so v'haisa tel olam sounds like you can't do anything with it? No ginos, no pardesim, no nothing. V'haisa tel olam, lo tibane od sounds you can't do binyan, but nitiya is not binyan. To plant ginos pardesim should be fine. So is this limiting the v'haisa tel olam? And we're saying no, v'haisa tel olam just means that you can't do binyan. So if you hold like Rabbi Avinam, Rabbi Yila, you're saying that no, the prat is not limiting the klal. There are two different dinim up here. There's a mitzvah saseh to not do anything. If you happen to build it, you not only are invited. So if you plant ginos and pardesim, you're in violation of that assay. If you plant ginos and pardesim, you're not in violation of the los assay, because it's lo tibane od. Netiya is not a violation of, but it's still a violation of the assay. When you build it, you're in violation of the assay and a los assay. That's the way that's the way Rabbi Avinam would understand. So if you agree with Rabbi Avinam Rabbi Law, you're not even allowed to plant ginos and pardesim. But if you assume this is just a regular klal prat, Ein b'chal al mashav prat. When it says v'yisatel olam, it means lo tibane od. It means don't rebuild it. So meila, if you plant ginos and pardesim, it's totally fine. So the Mari says Rabbi Yavin. Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds like Rabbi Yavin that the prat is not being memait the klal, so it's aser to plant ginos and pardesim. Mamar lasay Rabbi Yavin, and Rabbi Kiva doesn't hold like Rabbi Yavin. He holds that it's a regular klal of prat, and therefore when the Torah says lo tibane od, it's teaching us that v'yisatel olam means just that you're not allowed to be bona, but you are allowed to be noteya. Says more low. That's not what they're necessarily arguing about. The kuli al isu Rabbi Yavin. It could be everyone agrees to Rabbi Yavin. We don't apply the rules of klal prat. No, they're arguing about something else over here. Mar savar od legamri mashma. Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds the word od sounds like entirely that you're not allowed to build it forever with anything, even to plant kinos and pardesim. Umar savar Rabbi Kiva holds od lekamasha hoisa in nivnis. Od means don't rebuild it to what it once was. But you're allowed to make ginos pardesim because that's not lekamo shahaisa. The Adrama writes that we find in Psukim the word od meaning legamri. Ein od milvado. Ki Hashem u'alkim ha'shamayim melval arz mitachas. Ein od. Right? So certainly that's legamri, right? Ein od. There is nothing. Nothing is like, there's one and only God. Yet we also find the word od meaning like it was originally. Lo sosifun lo shuv baderech hazeh od. Al Tosef Daber Elai Od. So that's why we have Machlokes Tanaim, because there are certain psukim that are very clear that Od means nothing, 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 and certain psukim that are very clear that Od means Kamoshai, so that it's not an absolute. So that's what they're arguing. How do you understand this one? That's the whole Machlokes. That's how the Yad Ramah explains what they're arguing about. There's a significant discussion in Poskim about whether we'll get to that with Yericho, about building Yericho. Tanurabah. If there are trees that are detached from the ground in near nidachas, that's considered part of the moment of year and they're asur bana. But mechubarin mutar, if they're attached to the ground, then they're mutar. Because the pasuk says kol shlola tikbots el toch rechova v'surafta. So we darshened when we spoke about the hair of the women, mishen mechusar el kvitzu usreifa yotzesh mechusar tlishu kvitzu usreifa. So by trees as well, you would need to be kotzeit to them first, and therefore they're not included. But that's only when they're mechuber lekarka. But if they were nitlash, and then you mechaber them to a binyan, then they're not considered mechuber lekarka because it's not mechusar tlisha. You burn that together with the rest of the shlal ir nidachas. But that's the din when it comes to trees. But shel ira cheres. But if you're dealing with another city whose stuff is all aser bana bein tlush and bein mechubar and aser, then whether it's talish or mechuber, it's going to be aser. So says Gemara, my ira cheres. What other city besides Nir Nidachas has all of its stuff? Aser Ba'ana. Sam Rav Chista, Yericho. Tichsev, Ayir Cherim La'Hashem. The city of Yericho is Cherim La'Hashem. It's all Aser Ba'ana. That when when Achan took, when Yeshua took over Yericho and the walls came down, so Yeshua made a cherem, no one is allowed to take anything from Yericho. Achan did. Okay, so that was terrible, and that's why we lost the Battle of Ai. But it's all Asr Ba'na. So Vayishpa Yeshua Beisi Lemar Oru Ishlof Ne'ashem Asher Yakumu Vanas Yerazos Es Yericho Bibuchoru Yastenu V'tziro Yatziv D'Lasela. That Yeshua issued a curse that anyone who takes from the Cherem Yericho, that anyone who tries to rebuild rather the city of Yericho with his oldest son is going to, his oldest son is going to die when he starts, and his younger son is going to die when he finishes, when he hangs the doors on Yericho. Tanya Lo Yericho al Shem Yeracheres, Lo Yeracheres al Shem Yericho. It's more than that. It's not only that you're not allowed to rebuild this city that we call Yericho, you're not even allowed to build another city and call it Jericho, right? You're not even allowed, like in Long Island, right? This city, I think, is right. So you're not allowed to build another city and call it Yericho. Tichsiv, Banachi al Beis Ha'eli, as Yericho ba'aviram b'choro yista, uviskuv tziiro, hitziv dlaseha. He lost his b'chor, Aviram, when he started building it, and his young son, Suguv, he lost when he hung the doors of Yericho. So that was in the days of Achav, when the Pasuk is talking about. So he rebuilt in Beis Ha'eli, he rebuilt as Yericho. So that was not Yericho itself, it was another city that was called Yericho, and still he lost all of his children in building a city called Yericho. That's how Rashi understands the Pesukim over here. So Tanya, Ba'aviram Bechoro Rasha. The Brisa says, adds a word, not just Ba'aviram Bechoro, Ba'aviram Bechoro Rasha. When Aviram is Rasha's son, died, lo hayu lo lilmod, he shouldn't have necessarily learned yet at that point not to rebuild it. Biskuv tziiro, when his son Skuv, his young son Skuv, hayu lo lilmod, that he should have already learned his lesson. Aviram Skuv mayavid, what did they do? Why are they called Rishayim? Their father did a terrible thing. But what did they do? Sa'achi kamar. Now what it means to say is as follows, ba'aviram b'choro hayu lo lilmod lo'osa rasha. The father, the rasha, should have learned when Aviram b'choro was or should not have learned. Lo hayelo limod is really biskuv tziiro. By then he should have learned his lesson. Meaning, before Aviram his Bechor died, he had no way of knowing, or he shouldn't have necessarily known that he's gonna get punished with the curse of Yeshua. But once his Ben Abachar died, he should have realized that this wasn't an accident, and that his young son would die as well. Now, Mimash Mishnemar Ba Aviram Bechoro, from the fact that it says Aviram was his oldest son, wouldn't I already figure out that Skuv was therefore his younger son? Why does the Pasuk have to identify Skuv as the younger son? What this teaches us is that he kept on burying one child after another, and it wasn't just that he had two sons. It went from Aviram until Skuv. Achav Shushvine Hava. Now Achav happened to have been a friend of Chiel's. So also Iyu Velio Lemishal B'Shlama Beitamya. So both Achav and Eliyahu Hanavi were going to be Menachem Avel by Chiel after he lost his children. So Yosef Ka'amar. So Achav was sitting there saying, Dilma Kimelit Yoshua Hachilat. He said, you know, I just had a thought. Maybe the reason your children died, by the way, don't try this at a Shiva house, you know, I just had a thought, maybe the reason your children died. But Achav said, I just had a thought. Maybe the reason your children died was because of the curse of Yeshua. So says Gemara, Lo Yericho al Shem Yeracheres, Velo Yeracheres al Shem Yericho. And maybe that curse included building any other city by the name of Yericho. So Amalei Elio says, In, you're exactly right. Elio and Avi's allowed to say such things. Amalei, so Achav says to Elio, Nah, how could that be that a curse of Yeshua is going to be the cause of the death of the children? Hashel Laftasa de Moshe, Lo Kamakaima. Moshe issued curses also, none of them were ever fulfilled. Tichsiv, you know, the pasuk says that you have to be shomer. You have to believe in Hashem. Vesarta vavadtem, and someone who worships Elohim Acherim, what's going to happen? V'charaf Hashem b'chem v'yatzaris Hashemayim. It's not going to rain, and there are going to be these terrible curses. Achav says that's not my experience at all. Ha'u gavra okim le'avodus kachav malkol telim v'telim. I put avodah zara everywhere I can see. Every little mound in Yerushalayim has got avodah zara everywhere. V'lo shavak le'mitzvah demezel miskalei. And you know what? My biggest problem in worshipping the Avodah Zarah is I can't get there because it's always a rainy day and the roads are impassable because the Kodesh Baruch Hu brings so much bracha, so much rain. So if Moshe's curse doesn't stand, Yeshua's curse is going to stand? We have to worry about Yeshua's curse. So miyad vayomer Elio atishpi mitoshe agilat chay Hashem elokei Yisrael imiyat talumater. Elio couldn't handle that. Elio said right away that he takes a shua that it shouldn't rain anymore to be mekayim the dvar Hashem. It shouldn't be such a chil Hashem. He davened and he was given over the mafteach for Geshamim, and then he went after and he left after he stopped the rain. He was told to go to a certain location, and ravens would bring him food and meat, would bring him bread and meat every day, so that Eliyahu could survive. Where would they bring all this meat from? They would bring it from the butcher house of Achav. From Achav's butcher shop, that's where they would bring the meat for Eliyahu. It's a major question. The Gemara Maseches Chulin says, you see from here that you're allowed to eat from a shechita of a mumar laval dezar, because that's what Achav was, and how is Eliyahu Anavi allowed to eat his meat? So the Gemara says, no, that was al pi adibur. The whole thing, it's hard to learn any halachos. It was basra shenelam and ayin, at least, right? A bird took it. So you have to say that the whole thing was al pi adibur, the Gemara says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to eat this meat, lefi sha'a. Other Yishorim say, why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu get him kosher meat? So they say, no, this must have been meat that Ovadia was shechting. Ovadia worked for Achav, so it must be that this was meat that was the good meat, and the ravens only took the meat that was kosher la'achila. Okay, there was no rain, everything was drying up. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the amount of tzar, people were dying of from the lack of water, from this terrible drought, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came up with the following plan. He told Eliyahu to go to Tzarfas. This woman takes care of him, her son gets sick and he dies. Eliyahu Navi davens that he should be given the key to Tchias HaMesim to bring this child back to life. Amri Lei, Sholosh Mavtechus Onim Shel Shliach. They tell him in Hashemayim, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps three keys that he doesn't give to any Shliach. Shel Chayiv, Shel Geshamim, Shel Tchias HaMesim. Childbirth, rain, and Tchias HaMesim. If we give you this key of Tchias HaMesim, Yomru Shtayim B'yad Talmud V'achas B'yad Arav, two out of the three are going to be in the hands of the Talmud. I see how Shkil Hai. I tell you what, give back the key of Geshamim and you'll get the key of Tchias HaMesim. And then there was going to be rain again. Eliyahu is like a guy who locks the door and then loses the key. He doesn't have the ability to unlock the door. He gave back the key to Shemayim. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to unlock the door. Eliyahu Anavi called him Abba Eliyahu. Kaptan. He was such a kaptan. You know that he doesn't like what he heard about that Moshe Rabbeinu's curse was not fulfilled. Really, Kodesh Baruch Hu's curse was not fulfilled, and he stopped the rain for all of Eretz Yisrael. Have a regular mesa gabe. Now Eliyahu Anavi used to go to the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yossi all the time. Ikasi minei tasi yom ivlo asa. So for 3 days he didn't go. He didn't go visit him. So ki asa, when Eliyahu finally came back, Amalei Rabbi Yossi said to Eliyahu, "Amaylo asamar, we've missed you for 3 days." So Amalei Eliyahu said, "Captain Krisali, I was angry at you. You called me a captain. That's not nice. You said that I'm so makbid about things." Amalei I think you just proved me correct by not showing up for 3 days because you were angry at me. So I see that you are Takara, Captain. As long as there are Rishayim in this world, Hashem is angry in this world. Man Rishayim, who are these Rishayim? Any type of Rasha. Some Rav Yosef Kanavi. Dafka, people who take things that don't belong to them. That's what brings Charon Af Ba'olam. Pasuk says, "Le'yidbak b'yarchamu uma menacher l'man yoshev Hashem mecharon apo." So it's people who take menacherim, people who take from things that they're not supposed to be taking. That's the Charon Af. Tad Rabban, Rasha b'liyolam, Charon b'liyolam. When Rasha comes into the world, anger of God comes into the world. Shnemar v'vo Rasha b'gambuz v'am kolon cherpa. Rasha avad min olam, tova b'liyolam. Rasha leaves the world, goodness comes into the world. Shnemar v'avod Rasha imrina. By the loss of Rishayim, their celebration. Tzadik nifter min ha'olam, ra'a ba'al yolam. A tzadik is nifter from the world, evil comes into the world. Shenemar, a tzadik avad, ve'enish samalei, ve'anshe chesed ne'asafim be'in mevin, ki mipnei ha'ra'a ne'asaf ha'tzadik. That it was the ra'a that the tzadik died. Tzadik ba'al yolam, when a tzadik is born into the world, Tova b'olyolim shnemer zayin achamenu m'maseinu u'meitzvon yadeinu. And that's how we always like to be mesayim b'davar tov. So adron l'chol yisrael yesh l'abchel kolom l'slik l'am meseches Sanhedrin. Mazel of Daniel.